if this interview does not change what the government is trying to plan, to either keep playing them through the courts, delaying and delaying while hoping, if that is the case, hoping we'll get sick so that they have a story of our bad parents, if they are going to keep doing this through the courts, they are so on the wrong path. And this mother says in the interview, if this government keeps going, they will have a huge backlash. And she's saying that from Montana in America. Watch this interview. It should change the whole course of the dialectic around baby will and around New Zealanders' right to have freedom to choose. Cornelia, I'm talking to you from Montana. Is that right?
Yes.
And you had a baby who was 4 weeks old, who had a blood transfusion, and who died 2 weeks later. Is that correct?
Yes.
Your story, Cornelia, has gone around, certainly New Zealand, I'm sure it's gone around the world, but in New Zealand we have a situation where we have a four-month-old beautiful little baby boy also. And this government and the New Zealand Blood Service will not release the unjabbed blood, or will not release permission for the unjabbed blood that the parents of little Will have found the donors for. They will not release the permission for that to be used. So little baby Will is still waiting for an operation, for open heart surgery. And the mother yesterday, Sam, said to me, please, please, can we find the mother of Alexander Elliot Bly? And we found you, and you were willing to help and talk to me. Thank you so much, Cornelia. Could you take us to your story? How long ago did this happen?
So this happened in February. He was born in January, early January. He died February 17. They gave him the blood, I believe, around the 1st February. What happened was he had an operation. He needed to work on his throat. And they told us that it was very rare that babies would need blood. So we had been trying to get directed donor blood for a while. But they kind of basically told us it was impossible because of how expensive it was, which turned out to not be true. We were able to then get directed donor blood. But he went through the operation, did not need a blood transfusion. And we had signed saying that basically we only granted the use of blood in the emergency that they nicked an artery. So the doctor then gave him the blood later after the fact, just after the operation, without our knowledge.
Without your knowledge? Was he in the ward at that stage?
He was not in the operation room. He was back in the NICU.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did you find out they had given this blood, this vaccinated blood, to your baby?
So I walked in probably 20 minutes after they had started giving him the blood. And it was kind of a shock because, you know, we had clearly stated we didn't trust their blood. And the doctor, you know, of course, oh, everything's going to be fine. Nothing to worry about with this blood. And yeah, I felt very violated because, you know, we hadn't agreed to that use of blood. She just did it anyway. She said his hemoglobin levels were low. So she was just going to give him the blood. And yeah, the next day they discovered, it might have been later that day, they discovered a blood clot had started to form and they could no longer draw blood in a certain place. And my husband had told them the reason we didn't want a blood transfusion from the blood bank was because of blood clots. We were afraid that that would happen. And it did, like, instantly. And then they told us that blood clots in babies are very rare and blood thinners will just fix it. But that did not happen.
So you are then in this horrendous situation where your seeing evidence? What was the evidence of the blood clot? How did you know it started almost immediately?
So they found it by ultrasound. They said we have a blood clot, so we're going to have to move this PICC line. So they moved it to a different part of his body. Then they kept updates of the blood clot by ultrasound periodically. They checked it every few days, and it just continued to grow. Blood thinners, they had him on the highest amount of blood thinners they could legally give him. And yeah, it seemingly did nothing. And it started in his knee and went all the way up to his heart. So when it started inching closer to his heart, they basically told us that we had to look, preparing him for death. So we, but it was also visible on the outside because his veins turned black and his belly swelled up. So as you can see in the photos, it doesn't look normal. And so you could see over time, over the 2 week period, his belly slowly started to get bigger and bigger. He turned yellow as his liver shut down.
What was the reaction of the doctors and the nurses? Were they as horrified as you must have been? Were they visibly shaken, having
If they
given you this
were,
wrong advice?
if they were, they didn't show it at first. They just followed protocol, oh, a blood clot, we'll cure it up. But I think as time went on, they started to realize that he wasn't going to make it. At least they waited until they knew a 99% sure. Like they waited till they knew 100% that he was going to die before they told us that he was going to die. However, we were very suspicious, all along, obviously. I mean, it's hard to give up hope. You want to trust them. You think, they'll figure this out. But, we got him the safe blood for the rest of the time he was in there. He got directed donor blood. But that first initial time, that was all it took.
One amount. And I asked that about the doctor's attitudes, because what the parents of little baby Will are dealing with is incredibly arrogant doctors dismissing their concerns out of hand. Something Sam said to me in the second interview was, "I know as a mother in my gut that something is wrong with this baby." I knew right from the beginning. She said, "I also know in my gut that this blood is not for my baby." The moment when you walked in and you saw that blood being put in, there was a pause in your voice, Cornelia. What was that pause? When you saw that, take me back to that moment, you saw that blood, that vaccinated blood going in your baby. What was your mother's gut instinct saying?
I honestly thought, oh, he's gonna die. Like that was my first thought. And it was just, I think he would, I mean, he clearly had a chance to survive. He had a very strong immune system. He was fighting off all the drugs they were giving him. He was still able to push through it. He hadn't gotten sick. But yeah, the minute I seen that blood going into his veins, it just stopped me in my tracks and I was like, oh no. Something's wrong. And so then over the next 2 weeks, even though it was horrifying, it was like not quite a surprise somehow.
I asked that because in the meeting where I was an advocate with the parents, we were all begging the doctors to listen to the parents. But I said, we used to listen to the mothers and the fathers. We used to listen particularly to the mothers. Mothers have an instinct when it comes to their own babies. What was, th this could be a little unbearable, and you have every right to say, look, it's too much. I can't answer that question. But if you can, could you describe what it was like watching your baby? What were his levels of pain and discomfort? And what was he
It
going
was
through?
he was pretty strong. Even his body continued to swell up, he could fight back, so they would keep him sedated all the time. So they had to give him morphine for pain, and then they gave him some other drugs that were not even approved for infants. Apparently they do that a lot. We looked it up.
Drugs such as
But
what? Such as what?
I can't remember the
No.
term. I should have that information shortly.
But heavy sedation, heavy pain.
Heavy sedation. So he was out of it most of the time, but when he would come to, he was in severe pain. Yeah. Then also, they kept a tube down his throat the whole time. So even though they had done the throat operation, which was successful, they still kept that tube, and he hated it because it would, it's not comfortable having a tube down your throat. So he moved so much that eventually the tube irritated the surgery they had done, and they said that they would probably have to do another operation. So, and they said he would, die instantly after we removed the tube because he couldn't breathe on his own, and he breathed for 4 hours, just struggled for every breath. So we had known he could have survived without the tube, before his body went downhill.
So, Cornelia, you weren't able to breastfeed. He was being fed intravenously, was he?
Yes, they gave him my milk through a tube, I think on about 3 or 4 different occasions. But whatever other mixture they give, that's what he was getting most of the time.
Sam, the mother of Will, is quite extraordinary. Your strength is equally extraordinary. How do you mind my asking how old you are?
I'm 24.
At 24 years old, Cornelia, how are you coping with this? How did you cope at the time, and how are you coping now?
I have a very strong faith, so and the world is getting increasingly more devastating. So I take comfort in the fact that he's not here to deal with that. I think that was a lot of what carried me through, and trying not to just completely dwell on the past and what could have been, and moving forward, I think is very important. I didn't share his story initially. I did more recently, a few months ago, and it was mostly because I started seeing over the internet, is the blood safe? And there didn't seem to be much information about that. But my personal experience, we knew that the blood wasn't safe. So I knew that I had to put his story out there so people could find out, that at least be warned, So.
What has the reaction been across America to that? Because I had not seen your story in mainstream news in America, but certainly it's been going all around our internet here since Baby Will's story came up. What's been the
So,
reaction in America?
yeah, I had shared it in a Facebook group, which I won't mention for their privacy reasons. They keep getting shut down. But it was a lot of an overwhelming response of horror. And there was some doubters. A few people thought that, that the pictures of my baby weren't the same baby, or that, I was lying about the story. So I did get a some of that, but the majority were pretty shocked. There's a few other people who commented and said that, their loved one had been in the hospital and had been fine until they got a blood transfusion, and then they went downhill and got blood clots. So, a few more stories like that did come up. I don't think I've seen all the responses to my story, since I don't really go follow it, see where it's been in every corner. So.
Little Alexander Elliot Bly, his life will really stand for something, even without what you're doing today. But what you're doing today is so crucial because the New Zealand Blood Service had a very brutal meeting with the parents late the other night. The mother had been in court in the morning. She was exhausted. They called her in at 5 o'clock when she was meant to be breastfeeding. A very cold woman from the blood service was there saying, oh, I haven't got time for this. Look, this is ridiculous. We're not going to do this unless you can give me absolute proof that there really is some problem with vaccinated blood. We are going to go ahead and put vaccinated blood in your baby's body if you want this heart operation. Cornelia, having gone through what you've gone through, what would you say to that woman who the mother described me and the father described to me as having absolutely no empathy for them or their position or the fact that they even have collected unjabbed blood? What would you say to that woman, Cornelia?
Well, first of all, the logic is just completely flawed, because I've been hearing that there's a blood shortage. So, if someone needs blood, and supposedly vaccinated blood is perfectly safe, just like unvaccinated blood, and they were able to find unvaccinated blood, why do they not just let them use it? I mean, it's just highly suspicious that the government is pushing for the use of this blood, when it, in their minds, if it's identical, it doesn't make sense.
It's a very good point. In fact, what the lawyer for the parents said in the court was that the parents are not only being so responsible that they're looking after their baby beautifully, but they want an even higher standard of blood. There is an argument to say that too. So here they are going to take them to court again next Tuesday, supposedly, to take this baby from them, make it a ward of the state, so they can force something that the parents do not want into their baby. It is a case for the world, this case. What other experiences would you say to New Zealand you have gone through because of this? I can describe it as cavalier, utterly irresponsible, absolutely uneducated attitude that many doctors seem to have because they have fallen for government narratives about this vaccine around the world. What other experiences have you gone through? What was that like when you realized your baby was going to die?
Yeah, so I mean it's impossible to take the blood out, and I mean the doctor agreed, mRNA blood, hasn't been long-term tested. And that's the thing, it doesn't matter that it hasn't been long-term tested and that I might be skeptical of what is in that blood. They're just going to use it anyway, and that's what's yeah, I mean it ended in the death of our baby. So if it, they also threatened to, if we didn't agree to the use of blood, they would call CPS. But
That's
I
Child
think
Protection
America,
Services, Child Protection Services.
and mentioned court too. Although I think these were more scare tactics, because once we actually went to the blood bank and talked to the right people, we were able to get permission. So I think that there's a little bit more freedom here in regards to personal rights. For directed donor use. My uncle in the 90s, before I was born, he died from a blood transfusion of HIV. HIV was in the blood transfusion, and so, and that's what eventually took his life. He died of AIDS. So, having that history, I told the blood bank, I said, my family member died of this. If I don't trust the blood now and I want to get my own directed donor blood, it should make sense. And she was trying to, bring it back around to the whole, the question of vaccinated blood and how silly it was that I'd even bring that up. But that did make her pause for a second because, the blood bank doesn't have the best history here.
You speak extraordinarily articulately. Could you send a message? You're right, you may have more freedoms there, and they're not vast, the freedoms you already have. Could you speak to New Zealand's Prime Minister, who is running an absolutely tyrannical regime? That's what I would call it, a fascist regime in New Zealand. I believe they are very scared, this government, that if this blood is given to Will, it will open up the floodgates. People will demand far more rights. They have suppressed us as much as they can, but Kiwis are rising up. What would you say to this Prime Minister who herself has a young baby and who is in this week's Women's Magazine across New Zealand crying about her father having cancer when we know that many, many cancers have sprung up since her rollout of these jabs? We know that many, nearly 70,000 officially registered jab injured Kiwis on the government website that she never talks about. But she's really sad about her own father's illness, which is sad, but she's not sad about all these other Kiwis, including baby Will, who are suffering horrendously. What would you say to Jacinda Ardern?
I would ask her, I mean, honestly, if they go ahead and do what they want to do and give him this blood and he dies, what do you think the result in the country is going to be? Yeah, I think that obviously they're very good at covering things up. We know this. But the alternative is not good for them if they, if they follow through. And if if the parents are allowed to give the baby safe blood, then, I just don't understand why any leader would be afraid to give freedom to people. It's a very communist, socialist, all sorts of names of different countries who have followed that path. And yeah.
Many Kiwis are waking up to that as well. We never
Yes.
agreed to a communist country. We are born free, and it's a
Right.
freedom from a much higher power. I had a very concerning call yesterday from someone who said that there could be an even more cruel game afoot from this government, whose hubris means, whose ego means they want to win at all costs against the people. They may want the baby to die here. Baby will, so that they can then whip up a media storm against the parents, against the courage of the parents. I am going to call that out today. I'm going to interview that person who rang me as well and put that out. The darkness, it almost feels to me, and you say you are someone of great faith, it feels like a battle now across the world of good versus great evil. How have you come to terms with that part of it, given that this evil took your baby? How have you found this peace? Could you offer that to Kiwis? There are many who are needing more nourishment than is on offer from our cravenly fallen media or our corrupted government. Where do you
Well,
draw that from, your strength?
I mean, if there's great evil, there's obviously great good. And I think part of the attack on the babies is they are the most innocent, most pure of us. So when you hurt a baby, it's like it's the greatest evil. And that's what the evil feeds off of. It, as many babies and young people that can be hurt, children, that's where, the evil gets its power. And in protecting the babies, that's where good flourishes. As far as my own journey, yeah, it's not been easy, but I just remind myself everything is temporary, including our lives here. So, Alex's life was temporary. It didn't last very long, but the impact continues. And yeah, I guess it's a little bit difficult for me to put into words where I get my strength.
Could you tell us about Alex? Because I can tell you I'm completely in love with Baby Will. He's this old, old
Yeah.
soul, and it's as if he's come here to wake up our country so our country can be a leading light once more instead of this horrifically fallen country to cowardice, fallen to cowardice and following an evil leader, that we can once again be the brave little New Zealand David to the Goliath of what's going on out there. I believe New Zealanders are waking up in vast numbers to their own courage again. But what was, so that's Baby Will's mission, I have a sense. What do you think, Alex? Well, first of all, describe him and then perhaps why he may have come here in your view.
He was yeah, he was extraordinary. When he was born, he didn't cry. Just, he seemed super aware, very intelligent. When my husband was holding him, he looked like he was asleep on his chest, and my husband reached up to take a selfie, and he peeked open his eyes and just looked at the camera. So you get this selfie of him opening his eyes to see what was dad doing. He was very strong. It would take a couple nurses to hold him down when he started kicking. He wasn't weak by any stretch. And yeah, he very beautiful smile and very beautiful eyes. I think we were a little bit amazed that we had such an adorable, cute baby. We didn't really a lot of babies are born, and but he was extraordinary. Yes.
How is your husband coping with all of this, Cornelia?
I think he handles grief different. Well, everyone handles grief differently. But he doesn't talk about as much as I do. But I think moving forward and just doing what we can to get the word out there about the blood. It's about, the best thing we can do. So,
Can you accept that Alex may have come here for a similar reason to Will, that he may have had that sole purpose?
I've already had that thought, yes. Yeah.
Do you think a lot of people in America have woken up because of your story that you've put out there?
I think they have woken up to the blood issue, yes. But I think they were probably already previously awake to everything else going on. That there's still a lot of friends of mine who, they would have utter faith in the hospital system and, say that, what we experienced was tragic, but had nothing to do with the blood. So in some cases, some people are, I don't know if much can be done at this point to wake them up. It's just, it is what it is.
We have some particularly brutish quarters in our mainstream media, who will use lines like, well, there are always some people who die with these roll-ups of these jabs, a bit of that, oh, you got to take one for the team. Some people get injured, some people will die, this cavalier attitude, because of course our mainstream media are now realizing the house of cards is looking really wobbly, and that Will's case could be the card that pulls out, falls to the ground, and the whole thing comes down. And so they are being also, our media, very brutal. What would you say to that? Somebody who says, oh, Alex took one for the team. Baby has to die so that all the rest can be saved. It's an unbearably inhumane thing to even say to you and put to a mother who's gone through it. But I want to see what your reaction is.
Well, I would say, when you told us we need to wear the mask so that just one person would be safer. And then somehow that logic doesn't carry across to, oh, a few people died of the vaccine, big deal. It definitely seems to be the attitude, If you didn't wear a mask during the pandemic, you were heartless, you were killing your neighbors. But if you die from the vaccine, that's just part of it, something to accept and pretty much ignore for the most part is what I found. But so I think that their logic is two-sided.
Did any mainstream media honor you with an honoring interview over in America?
No, there was two articles that I was interviewed for, but they were probably shadow banned sites. you can go read it, but it's they have a very specific following, not a big news at all.
I referred before, Cornelia, to the shock of being an advocate in that meeting with the doctors. One of them, the surgeon, just kept saying, well, I won't put pressure on the blood bank for them to clear this unjabbed blood because, and I would say, why? And he'd go, because I don't believe there's any problem. To which I said over and over, it doesn't matter what your personal beliefs are as a human being, and I will uphold your belief. Whatever, that's a democracy. But what truly matters is you are refusing to listen to the parents who are the guardians and the responsible guardians and the well-researched guardians of this baby. The arrogance of that meeting still haunts me to this day, and that was a week ago today. They've done nothing. They have not moved heaven and earth to get this baby help. The lack of humanity from the doctors alone. We have heard there's a rebellion within the children's hospital, that there are doctors whose consciences are really being pricked. I need you to send a message to those doctors who want to speak out but are still too cowardly. We need their courage now to say it's not right what's going on to baby Will. Could you give them a message, Cornelia? Could you say something to our New Zealand doctors who want to speak out, who know what's going on is wrong?
Well, it's kind of like in Nazi Germany, the people who were too afraid to speak out, eventually, there was no one left to speak for them once everyone else had been taken, and was gone. So if it gets to that point, you're better off speaking now and risking all of the hardship that might follow, because at least you're doing what you can to stop the tidal wave. Because if we don't all speak out now, it might be too late, and then there'll be no one to speak. So even though the doctors now don't have like a instant problem, you know, that, you know, they don't have a freedom that's getting yanked from them right now, but it might change, you know, at any point as this, you know, the cycle continues to get worse and worse.
Did you speak to the doctors of baby Alex afterwards? Did you look them in the eye and say, you knew what I wanted and you betrayed my wishes as his mother? Did you ever get that chance?
I would have probably, but they switched doctors. So we got a whole different team in a different section by the time he was dying. So the original doctors who had given him the blood were not there.
This is your chance, Cornelia. This may well be picked up and go overseas anyway, because the baby Will story is going around the world. This is your chance to say to baby Alex's doctors, who wouldn't listen to you about the blood transfusion, this is your message. Can you say that?
Yes. I would just like to tell them that I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They probably truly believed, you know, that this blood was fine. But if it was their child, I think they'd want to do everything they could. And they'd want to trust their own instinct. And so they need to give that freedom to parents. Because if they don't, you know, the karma isn't good in the end. So for their own child, for their own child's sake, they need to. Yeah.
Do you feel your baby Alex around you?
Yeah, I talk to him occasionally. I think he's aware of everything going on, and I know he's safe and he's happy. So that makes me feel happy, because, you know, the greatest thing a mother wants is her child to be safe.
It's been an extraordinary privilege to talk to you, Cornelia, an extraordinary privilege, and you're doing a service to New Zealand. I would say to the Prime Minister, to the head of our New Zealand Blood Service, to the doctors in Starship Hospital who are charged with looking after baby Will, and remember the Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm. And the precautionary principle needs to be operating here. We do not know what is in the vaccinated blood, but we know the unvaccinated blood will be clean for Will. Please listen to this mother from Montana in America. I wanted to finish, Cornelia, I've asked you to speak out to a number of people today, but to baby Will's mum, Sam, who is just as gorgeous and intelligent and loving and attuned and well-researched as you are, and to his wonderful father, Cole, could you say something from your heart to them to help them keep going in this draining, draining journey?
Yeah, I want to say that I'm very proud of the fight that they've been putting up. It's exactly the kind of fight that, you know, I wish I would have had the chance to do. So I just want to tell them that I'm very proud of them, and they just need to keep fighting, because they're not fighting for just their baby. They're fighting for many babies at this point. Yeah, and that can be overwhelming to think about, but it's sadly the reality we have now.
Cornelia, thank you so much. Can we keep in touch with you?
Yes. Yeah.
I hope that we will be bringing you good news very shortly, that baby Will has had the unjabbed blood and the operation's been successful, and maybe one day you and Sam and Cole and baby Will can meet.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
Thank you. From all of New Zealand, thank you.
His parents are doing the You can find Counterspin, New Zealand's media revolution, at counterspinmedia.com. And now, on the InfoWars Network, at band.video.